Blog Talk Radio.
Morning. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I am Kristen, and I'm here with Neil. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
And today we are continuing our discussion that we started on Wednesday regarding the magic of energy and how we can each start to work with energy in our own lives to manifest our highest potential. But first, of course, I'm going to invite everybody that's in the queue and listening to our show to join us right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can follow us by clicking on the follow button under our profile named the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. And you can join us on Facebook and Twitter. Those accounts are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile as well. And for those of you who are calling the show for the first time today, we do get to our callers at about 15 to 20 minutes after the show. So everybody in the queue, please do hold your place in line because it makes it easier for me to take your calls in the order they are received. Everybody in the queue, we'll be getting a reading, but we have several callers that have not pressed one. So if you are waiting to get a reading, 936-951-425 have not pressed one on their phone. So we don't know if you're just listening or in the queue. At this point, only 936 is without their hand raised. So we'll see. Doesn't look like they want a reading. But anyway, we were discussing energy, Neil.
We were discussing energy.
And how to manifest it.
How to manifest it. Well, yeah, that's kind of a trick because what usually blocks us from manifesting magical elements beyond the physical realm, because there can be magic in the physical realm, as we all know. Penn and Teller would tell you that, even though they believe that mystics and psychics are a bunch of hogwash, but they do believe in magic, even though they believe it's an illusion. The very thing that blocks us is the physical body. We have to get beyond the physical body to understand the absolute cosmic definition of what magic is all about.
Right, because the physicality of energy, the density of energy, will keep bringing us down. I mean, it's challenging when one wants to change energy and the physical aspects of what they're trying to change start frustrating them.
Mm-hmm.
I know it well because, you know, like in terms of maybe a neighbor being quiet, for instance, and that, you know, can be an aggravating situation, not dropping down to that physical, keeping your high spiritual energy intact.
Yeah, we can do tremendous feats with physical energy. We can do tremendous athletic feats. We can have a lot of charisma. We can do a lot of things with the force of our voice. We can do a lot of things with the intensity of our strength. There's lots of things we can accomplish in the physical realm, which includes feats that are beyond the imagination in terms of, you know, walking along tight ropes across Niagara Falls, all kinds of things we can do. But that's still defined as a physicality of excellence. When we're talking about the astral body, we're talking more about the subtle bodies that are really composed of what is considered subtle material. And the astral body is kind of the intermediate realm between the intelligent soul and the mental body. And it's also cushioned between the body and the spirit. So we have this soul, it's composed of this kind of subtle material. Now, we even know from caveman drawings that there is something beyond the body. We know that. We've seen that on cave drawings and rituals and things like that. There's ancient drawings about celestial spheres and energies that are beyond the normal physicality of what we look at in the earth. So we have that energy. Plato himself some of the idea of the astral plane was rooted in Plato's philosophy, and he related to the astral plane as a heaven of astrology. Now, in his concept, he believed that there was an afterlife, and that our soul actually began a journey, or if you will, an ascent into this mystical out-of-the-body experience, where the spiritual traveler leaves more or less the physical body and travels in their subtle body, that would be their soul or their astral body, through the dream world and the higher realms and the different layers of heaven and or hell, if you want to look at it that way. So can you imagine this idea? This is where the astral projection idea came. It was birthed all the way back then, and you know, Plato himself didn't actually come up with the idea. It was based prior to Plato, but as far as a significant figure in our history and in our philosophy, we could actually begin some of the discussion there. So in terms of this energy that gets beyond the idea of mortality, gets beyond the idea of the boundaries of the physical plane, we get into an area that is considered more or less astral. And here, when we enter this world, it's actually, at first, it's a swirling world of colors. That's why we designate our chakras in terms of color.
Isn't that something they're doing at California Adventure now, World of Color?
Oh,
like, fantastic World of Color.
Well, this would be the cosmic world of color.
Cosmic world of color.
These are cosmic colors. So the green of the chakra system, the blue of the chakra system, is not the same as the blue that we see in the earth. It's a mystical blue. It takes on an astral definition because it's filled with magnetic power. Now, when we talk about magnetic power, can you imagine we're talking about energy that draws in and draws out? We're talking about this kind of bipolar energy that moves in and out. It's very magnetic, it's very electric, and it does take on a certain color, but it also takes on a variety of colors because it has a variety of energies in it that's sort of wrapped up in this astral realm that is more or less regarded as infinity, endlessness. And as we enter this realm, we actually enter what is considered the dream world of the self, because it's our astral bodies that's going into that dream world. And because we are composed of a soul and a spirit, and our bodies cannot go into the dream world, but our souls and our spirits can, and thank God our souls and our spirits can leave our bodies, still connected by the silver cord. But this is a way that we can have access to this astral realm and obtain from it what we commonly would refer to as magic or energy. Now, that magic and energy, if we're able to contain it in our bodies when we come back with it, we can do all kinds of magical things on the planet.
Right, and I think it's more than, I mean, positive energy is extremely important, so I think that's the basis for being able to change energy, right, Neil? Maintaining a positive energy,
yeah,
rather than holding negative energy, because as we said before, the more physical, the more dense the energy, the more you're going to stay grounded physicality.
I mean, even doctors would tell you that your attitude about life will help matters. If you're depressed, it's not going to help. If you're more upbeat, it is going to help. So what the thought is that positive energy is closer to the subtle bodies than negative energy. Negative energy tends to weigh us down. It's like a weight. Positive energy tends to lift us up. So the idea of why people say to be positive is because when you're positive, you're more closely connected to the astral realm than the physical realm. I mean, you can be depressed all you want, but you're going to be in the you're basically going to be in the physical world, in the physical planet with that kind of energy, because it is converted as energy. Depression is produced as an energy in the body. It slows down the chakra systems. And the idea is not, you don't want to slow down the chakra systems.
Speed them up and keep them spinning.
Keep them spinning.
Clear and spinning.
Yeah, because the faster they go, the more there is a liftoff, the more there is an ability to perceive, understand, interpret, experience, interact with the subtle bodies of the astral realm, which are basically moving at such a speed that our physical bodies can't even connect to them. They're going too fast. So our physical bodies can't connect to it. So wouldn't it make sense to produce an energy within the self that is so positive it can at least hitch a ride onto the tail of the comet, onto the tail of the astral realm, and thereby perceive, receive, and if you're really advanced, interpret the energies of the astral realm.
Right. So that's step one. But more than just maintaining a positive energy, there are other things that people can do to practice changing energy. And on last episode, we talked about how we work with a deck of playing cards and manifest certain cards specifically. I have a story I want to relay because it was my probably first experience when I thought, okay, this is the magic of energy occurring. But I was in a lesson with a teacher who was trying to connect me to a lower breath connection. We were working on breathing. And I was barking like a dog in the lesson. And what I said was, of course I was barking, but I said, I just wish right now that dogs would show up. And so, I would love to see dogs show up right now. And we continued in the lesson, and suddenly out of the corner of my eye, I saw two dogs running across the lawn and toward the front door. And I opened up the front door, and there was this white dog and a Pomeranian, a miniature Pomeranian, sitting there barking at me. And it was like so exciting. Now, ostensibly, it could have been because I was barking, but how often do barking dogs, attract other barking dogs? So that was my first experience with actually utilizing a thought and being able to attract an experience that I wanted. But as far as being able to consistently repeat that that energy, putting out energy and bringing the energy toward me, I didn't have a structured form of practicing. And after practicing, I think for the 3 years that we've been working on the cards together, I mean, I've started to be able to accomplish small feats with energy. So
yeah, the cards are just the vibration. They're an excellent tool because you're using the concept of the mind and the vision and the energy. And then that energy goes from your third eye down through the energy levels of your body, of course, extending outward to the limbs, to the fingertips where there are chakra little centers there too. And so all that's connected. And so the feel of the hands on the deck of the cards will connect to the vision in the brain, and you just park the cards and voila, you get the card you envision. And it's something I've been doing since I was a kid. My grandfather taught me when I was probably about 4 years old. And I've been doing it every day since then. Every day I do it just to keep myself in practice. And you've experienced it too on that level. And we talk about dogs, it's interesting.
You should bark like a dog. That would also help.
It would also help. One of the most famous allusions to dogs is the phrase, "Let's slip the dogs of war," from Shakespeare's Julius Caesar, after Julius Caesar is assassinated, and that famous speech is made. But the idea of, dogs have a certain element, and they're also illustrated, quite vividly on the tarot deck. But the dog itself is linked to the underworld. And there's also a theme that whenever a dog's howl, they're mourning the journey of a soul going to hell. There's that theme going, that little theory going. But we're kind of getting off the topic of what the magical element is.
So before we get to our callers, which we're going to need to do momentarily, Neil, what are some tools that we can supply our listeners?
Well,
I mean, we can continue this on Wednesday too. We could pause and continue. It's up to you, but
yeah.
We've got a lot of people in the queue.
Well, briefly, I mean, there isn't a lot of time, but when we talk about colors, always know the color of the chakra system so that you can utilize the theme of that chakra system and the color and connect it to the whirling colors of the astral
realm. Right, that's a basic, people knowing the chakra systems, their colors, where they're located, very basic information that everyone should have if they're delving into the world of metaphysics.
Yeah, because the chakras radiate energy and they return. So you can always utilize a certain color energy when you're leaving your body. One way of visualizing the aspect and the beginning aspect of magic is to actualize a color in your mind and then sort of close your eyes. You can be
sort of
down,
close your eyes. Don't completely close.
You don't want to close. Well, sort of close your eyes means your third eye's open.
Uh-huh.
So you're sort of close your
eyes. You're closing your naked eye, but you're opening your third eye.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I believe that the eyes never really close. They're always, I mean, you know, when we concentrate, we close the eyes, but they're never really closed because we have inner vision. So you sort of close your eyes, and your third eye leaves your body. You actually visualize leaving your body, and you're wrapping your exit in a color. I typically will use blue or anything that is related to the story regions, because the story regions is the dark blue, the energies of the sky sometimes, but they are very welcoming to the aspect of an astral body in flight. So the one aspect of achieving magic is to visualize a color, visualize yourself leaving your body and moving through the astral realm, like moving through space. And as you do that, you start to activate a thought process of what you desire. And I hate to use that word desire because it doesn't really communicate to the elements of the universe, because it's still a physical ego-based thing.
Exactly.
But for the sake of being a little clumsy and I'm still trying to get my point across, that higher element of desire will be the beginning of magic as you manifest it, as you re-enter into the physical plane, back into your body.
Right, and the hope would be that as people go through the process of trying to, you know, meditate or utilize these methods to activate energy, is that a higher agenda will be revealed to them as well.
Yeah, well, that's
because they're connecting to the astral realm and they're getting to the higher self.
And there are spirits in the astral realm that are more than happy to greet us and help us manifest that magic in terms of the delight of having body and soul and spirit join with the astral plane and then manifesting that in the physical plane. So there's a great celebration even on the higher planes when something like that is achieved.
Well, it's a never-ending conversation. We can continue, Neil, on Wednesday, but I'd like to get to our callers. So everybody that's in the queue, we're going to try to get to you, but please, one question per caller. All right, 404, good morning. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning. How are you guys today?
Good. How are you? Who's this?
Hi, my name is Tamika.
I'm sorry. Can you spell that for us, please?
That's T-A-M-I-K-A-H.
I-K-A-H, did you get that?
I got T-A-M-I-K-A-H, but I don't know.
That's correct.
Tamika, hi. Okay, Tamika. And what's your birth date?
11/26/85.
That's whatever you're doing right now, we can hear you better, so stay in that position because it's a little challenging. 8/9/10/20/30/36. What's your question?
I just want to call about my financial situation.
Financial? Okay.
Yeah.
She's interested in financial?
Yeah.
Well, Tamika, your financial situation is one that can be actually, I mean, if you're looking for more money, if it's money you're in, attuned to and you're looking for a slight financial change in your life, your birth date actually demonstrates that you have it in your karmic system to get there. Money can be designated as the number 8 in numerology. Now in your day it's broken up as a 2 and 6, but it's actualized as a number symbol in your year of 85. And considering that your master number is a self six, which is the visual number of life, the third eye of life, and let's see, you are 29 years old?
I am.
85, 95? Yeah, you're 29 years old. Ah, you're still in karma. So that means, Tanika, that it's going to be more difficult for you to actualize a higher source of money before the age of 33 than it will be after the age of 33. It's going to be a little bit more difficult. So you're going to tend to make money, lose money, make money, lose money, be out of work, this kind of thing. It's a struggle. But, I mean, things get better when you're 33, but you're 29, so that's not going to mean much to you. That's too far away.
She wants results now, probably.
So you want something right now. The only, you know, there's a certain aspect, and I don't know where it's coming from yet. And maybe it might be through a magical channel, but I'm inclined to want to comment on the aspect of music. So first of all, what part does music play in your life as we speak, or in your past, in your immediate past? What has music played in your life?
I'm kind of lost about that question, but I don't understand what you're saying.
He's asking what role music plays in your life. I mean, are you a musician? Do you have family that's musicians? Be creative with the answer. Think, or is music important to you? I mean, or is it a ritual for you?
I just like to listen to music to calm down and relax.
So you use it to relax.
Okay, Tanika, now, have you ever been on any, for probing, but have you ever been on any medication, per se, for either a body problem or an emotional problem?
No.
Nothing like that. How about your parents? Mm-mm. Anything? How about with your parents? And mother, father, depression? Anything where they had to be?
No.
Nothing like that. Okay, now what kind of work do you do? What kind of work do you do, Tanika?
I'm in like customer service.
Customer service. Are you having a problem with money right now, manifesting money? Is that why you're asking?
Yes, well, my husband walked out on me and my child, and he was my sole income. And I'm looking for employment right now. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're still in karma. You got a problem in there. What did your husband do for a living? I'm sorry that you had experiences, but what did your husband do for a living?
He actually, he cleans hotels.
Okay. So you're all kind of in struggling mode, and I don't know. I'm still inclined, maybe because we talked about magic in this episode. I don't know. There's something to do with music going on, and you know, music may not be something that you can immediately apply to, Tanika, in terms of how you're going to get helped. But I would have to engage in a deeper sense of what element of music is important to you. There's got to be something. Let me ask you real quick, was your anybody in the family inclined to join, be in a church choir? Were there any religious people in your past?
It's a lot of religious people, but as far as singing, that would be like my great-grandmother. She was in the church choir.
Oh, your great-grandmother was in the church choir. Okay, is your great-grandmother crossed over?
She is.
Your great-grandmother. And that her daughter, your grandmother, were you close to her, or are you close to her?
Yes.
Okay, so what I would begin to do, because we've got a lot of callers, what I'm beginning to understand with you is formulating a dialogue through the energy fields of your great-grandmother, connecting it to your grandmother. Who did she say? Is your grandmother deceased or living?
Grandmother, not
my grandmother, she is deceased, yes.
Okay, so there's a conversation that I'm having, apparently, maybe with your great-grandmother and your grandmother, that might begin to establish some sense of boundaries or footing or support for you in terms of your money situation that seems to be coming from them. So they would have to go into a deeper sense of exploration, but that's where it would start, Tanika.
And we've got
to
stop.
To get
we've
you
got
way
to
out of your problem, you have to start the dialogue with your great-grandmother and your grandmother.
And, Tanika, you're always welcome to call back our show. We just have a lot of callers in the queue, and we do try to get to everybody that calls. So.
Okay, no problem.
Okay.
I really appreciate
right.
it.
You're welcome.
Thank
Hopefully
you.
That's helpful to you. You're welcome. All right, 704, we've got to keep these short, Neil.
Okay. Yeah, it's too bad. I mean, I wish I could help everybody.
Well, we can help them, and they can always call back. They
yeah.
can always call back. 704 area code, good morning.
Good morning. This is Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. Birth date, please?
September 13th, 1969.
59, 59? 69. 69, okay. And what's your question? Where are you calling from also, Melissa?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Alrighty. What's going on? Go ahead. Melissa, are you there? It's we can't hardly hear you. I just heard like a bit of your
Hello?
Voice. Hi.
Can you hear me?
Barely.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now. What's your question? 10, 15,
15. Do you see any changes that I need to be aware of coming up in the next few months?
Okay. Changes.
No, 38 of them, too.
What is wrong with me?
Changes for you to come up. Yeah, I do see. I'm a little bit concerned, Melissa, with your home environment.
Okay.
First of all, is there anything that you're concerned about with your current living situation that you know offhand, that you know verbatim, that there's any, are there any concerns right now in your living situation, your home?
As far as I need carpet upstairs, which is irritating me to death, but other than that, I was thinking of moving and downsizing and moving a few miles away from here.
Okay, so the changes, that's what I'm picking up on, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the carpet is maybe a little bit of a tidbit there, but the
mm-hmm.
idea of moving is what I'm starting to pull at the root. So when you say, when you're talking about moving, now that root, when you pull on it, Melissa, it comes up with all kinds of things. It could come up in terms of relationship, job. I mean, all kinds of things when you pull on the root of trying to uproot yourself and move and maybe downsize. It just isn't a decision you make because you want to downsize. It comes with a portion of history. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
it's the idea of losing something, a divorce, something like that. Have you been divorced in your life, or is there any kind of estrangement, may I ask, with a significant other?
No, I've been divorced probably 15 years.
Okay. So you see, that's the history.
Yeah,
that's the history, Melissa. The divorce that I'm picking up on is part of the root of all the energies you've experienced throughout life that has brought you to this conclusion. Because if you weren't divorced, maybe you wouldn't be moving right now. Maybe your journey would have taken a different angle. But because of that divorce 15 years ago, you're now in a position where you're thinking about downsizing. And I'm determining that the root of that decision goes all the way back to your divorce, which ultimately through the years leads up to this point in time. So I think you probably should downsize. I think a journey of downsizing is inevitable. I think it's probably going to occur, and it's probably going to occur in your 46th year. So you're going to turn 46 this September. So between September of 2015, September of 2016, there's going to be a move. I do see a birth under you, but do you have a child or two children, one child? Do you have a child?
I have a 19-year-old son.
Yeah.
But that's
so
a child.
That's a child. Don't worry. The birth, I didn't mean a current birth. You're 45 years old. I didn't mean baby, just got pregnant. But you have a child, you see, 19 years old, which was 4 years prior to the divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And your master number is 2. So as I start to read you through, I'm starting to pull at this root and get more and more psychic validations that the divorce 15 years ago, a child that was born 4 years, you were divorced. I do get a child around you. He's 19, but still, I'm not talking about you having, I'm still your child, but And that has nothing really to do with the divorce, but it does in a way, because it's the way that I'm reading the tail end of your karma to how I can get up to the point of where we're going. So there's going to be a change in your environment. It will probably occur at the age of 46 throughout that year somewhere. And then that's going to reset the stage of what you're going to be going through in till at least the age of 48 or 49. So it's going to go 46 move, and then from 46 to approximately 49, another set of energies are going to start to rearrange themselves in such a way that you start to look at the next phase and chapter of your life, which will be grouped into a, probably a period of the 11 years thereafter.
Okay.
So it's just a quick, brief, a lot of time in there, but, you know, the radio can only accommodate a structure of certain kinds of readings.
That's right.
Right.
But, Melissa, you can call the show again, of course, or you can reach Neil directly. I haven't even given your phone number up today, 562-596-7818. And we do hope that Melissa follows us here on Blog Talk Radio or joins us on Facebook or on Twitter. Okay, 561 is our next caller. Good morning.
Hi, this is Lena. How are you?
Oh, hi, Lena. Lena from Florida?
Yep.
Lena.
3762.
What's your birthday? I'm sorry?
March 7th, 1962.
March 7th, 1962.
Uh-huh, and your question?
My question is, I wanted to ask Neil, there was this businessman that I met, his name is Steve, and he's just driving me crazy, sending me on, like, making these phony profiles and sending his friends to meet me, and it's just like, I don't know what's going on with this guy. Can you get a read on him?
Well, you know, I mean, other than you kind of suggesting comments about him and influencing my thoughts, it sounds like he might be a little bit of a game player, a little bit of sociopathic energy. You have certainly experienced that in your life. So have you had experiences where men abruptly in a relationship, they abruptly left or just got tired of the relationship and abandoned you? Have you ever experienced that in your lifetime?
Oh yeah. Well, I leave them. Yeah, it's just, yeah.
Yeah, there's abruptness. Mm-hmm. Well, I would be careful of this character. I think there's probably more physicality and sexuality involved in the energy of this person. So a lot of it, people who have a need for that kind of immediate attention sometimes play people. And they make the best person win. It reminds me of the people who call, like, they call these calls you get on the line. It's like 10 people. They call 10 numbers, and whoever picks up, they
you mean like the robocalls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're all full of crap anyways. They're not even telling you the truth, you know, and they're trying to sell you something or do something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's what this guy
telemarketer.
Does.
But he's not a telemarketer.
He's not a telemarketer. But in the idea, you know, in the idea of the second chakra, he is.
He's a second chakra
telemarketer. Yeah, be careful of this.
We coined a new phrase.
I wouldn't lean that into him if I were.
You wouldn't what? I didn't hear you.
I said I wouldn't lean that into him. Never mind. It's a bad joke.
That's an old joke.
Well, I'm pretty old, so the only thing I can tell are old jokes. No, I would move on.
Yeah, no, I stopped going around. I deleted my profile online. I stopped going around to where I know he goes to. So I don't know if I'm going to see him again because I'm going to try and avoid the places where I think he might be.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to approach life in a more healthy attitude. You need to, Lena, you need to find not a kind of a dangerous route to how you connect to a significant man, if that's what your preference is right now. That what your energy.
Did you not choose?
Last week
she was gay.
Yeah,
this week
animal, insect. I don't know. I'm a little my vocabulary is all over the map.
You're sleepy.
But the, you know, you need, it's got to be more legitimized. You know, for you, I wouldn't say that if you're looking to connect to a person with the idea of romance or relationship, I probably wouldn't go to places where you get a lot of people who are hunting for that sexual encounter. I wouldn't go there.
And it's hard, I think, when you, I mean, at any point to meet somebody, but especially when you're getting older and you're not in the bar scene and so forth. So how, what do you do? I mean, what are the, do you have any suggestions?
I met him at Starbucks. I wasn't even looking. I just knew him from Starbucks. I didn't meet him at a club or...
No. But my point was that, you know, people that are generally... You know, I don't know. I mean, some people that are your age do go out to bars, but I was suggesting that's not how you met them, actually, Lena.
I met them at Starbucks.
Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with the magical element of meeting somebody at a location and you start to connect. I mean, that's a little bit better than going directly to a site where you know you're going to get people not of the best color, but... still, it in the attitude of connecting to somebody, I think the first thing you have to do, Lena, is go inside and redefine yourself as a stable woman. And I don't mean you're unstable, but you got to go inside and really redefine yourself, reconnect to your energy, so that you attract a different kind of man. And if you met this man at Starbucks and there was a sort of attraction, well, that's getting closer to the range of finding somebody on a more magical element. But I think that because he turned out to be kind of a sourpuss here and he wasn't really involved with any sort of integrity towards your life,
no,
that means that you've got to go back in and tighten the control panels of your self-esteem. Maybe by that attitude, you can attract through the radiation of your energy, how you radiate, you'll attract a different man in form than this guy. But that, you know, that would be my first quick-witted response to your situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll do that. All right, Lena. Thank you.
Yeah, you're going inside and readjusting people. You know, I mean, there's a trick to that, and it's really a study of the psyche, how we actualize ourselves with a sense of self-esteem is more than just saying, okay, I'm going to be stronger. You know, it's more than that. It's a whole energy conference and dialogue that's got to be put out. And you got to make sure that you don't have too many needs in there, desires that get in the way of what's really your actualized self.
Mm.
So.
Challenging. Okay, 425 is our next. Good morning.
Hello? Is that me?
Yes, that's you.
Ah, all right. Hi, my name's Catherine.
Catherine. Is that with a K or a C?
With a K.
With a K. I always love that name. Actually,
Nice. Thank you. I was actually named after my mom, so it's pretty.
Really?
Yeah,
and I like it with a K. I prefer it with a K.
I did it with a K.
Actually, yeah. What is your birth date, Catherine?
June 24, 1986.
All righty.
24.
Yes. And what question? Are you calling from up north? Looks like.
Seattle, Everett kind of area.
Yeah. Yeah, Washington, recognize it. Area code 8.
Beautiful.
12, 2. Yes, it is.
So,
what's your question?
I've got a lot kind of going on right now mentally. So I was wondering what's going on, what's brewing for me.
What's brewing?
A bomb.
She says she's a lot going on.
Oh, a lot. I thought you said you had a bomb going on. Well, I got a lot going on. Are you going to sell or what?
My anxiety's been just going like crazy. It's really ruining my life in a big way. I've never really had this as an issue before. I mean, not to this extent. So I don't really know what started it, but it just kind of popped up, and it's really kind of brought me closer to trying to find my spirituality and such. So I want to kind of know if I'm doing the correct thing, I don't know. Why?
Well, you know, anxiety can be a real killer. I hate anxiety. And when you're an artistic soul, if you have a sense of artistry and you kind of live on the sort of outskirts of your world society, and you're not really, people who are mainstream people, who are conventional, you know, common people can have any anxiety can hit any of us. But when you have a sort of artistic inclination, or you believe in more of the esoteric or mystical or spiritual or science dictionary things about life, there's a certain cosmic connection to the brain that produces a feeling like, God, I feel like I'm a pig in a round world. I can't find my niche. I can't find exactly what connects. So a lot of these people, I mean, even this David Foster Wallace, who wrote Infinite Jest, who was a genius of sorts, a teacher, but a novelist, he ended up committing suicide with the idea of anxiety and depression. You know, it's sorry, very sad story, but when we are...
Well, I can see. I mean, it really does take you away from your body in a very horrible way, so I can understand, really.
Yeah, I do too, Catherine, and I don't know. I mean... Sometimes I think what you've got it, I think that, you know, with you, I'm sensing a little bit of artistic kind of quality. Not that you, I mean, there might be something with fashion or art or music or something, if at least an interest, if not in profession, but
yeah.
There's got to be, yeah, good. Well, there's got to be a sense that you, there's a sense of harmonizing yourself with your heart chakra, which I think is important, and that's vital.
Okay.
And I think, but it's more than that. I mean, that's just the beginning. That's just the balance zone. So for you, I'm inclined to say that chakras have to be balanced, starting with the heart. So there was probably a sense of some kind of loss in your life that might have gotten you off balance, and in spite of the fact that you're a survivor, you haven't maintained balance, the proper balance since then. Has there been a broken up relationship in the last 5 years?
Yeah, actually, it was. I had weight loss surgery, my grandpa died, and I left my guy of 5 years, all within the last 5 years. Wow.
Yeah. See, so I, you know, it's complicated. You know, I'm on the radio, and I'm trying to give you these quick answers. So, but it's complicated. I'm getting a vibe about you, but working it out, it takes, you know, it's just not ready-made. It's not like, you know, you're going and you order something and they go, oh, yeah, we already got your order made, and you're wondering how long it's been sitting there. It's
right.
Something that's got to be composed, but I'm starting to get a feel about you. But in the attitude of stretching it out into a firm answer, I think, first of all, balance. There's been a lot of loss all within the last 5 years. You're 29 years old, and you had, at 27, so you have a zone going on until the age of 36 that's going to be a cycle of your 9, which is a strong number for you, your master number. So I think what it would be, first of all, is you have to get into a sense of balancing your energy first. Before you look for anything in the world, you got to balance your energy first, which doesn't take a lot of time, but it's got to be done first. You're a little bit off balance. So that would be my first piece of advice to you, balancing
okay.
your energies with your fourth chakra, and then from there, making sure your other chakras are balanced.
Yeah, because fours are fire number, too.
Yeah.
As I'm trying to learn that sort of stuff right now so I can do these sort of things, because I feel that that's the direction I need to go.
And what do you do for a living?
What was that?
What do you do for a living?
I supply dispensaries with medicine for cancer patients.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be in more of your
seventh
chakra. But you see, you're still riddled by the concept that you're in a world of life and death. You're caught in a world of that rude awakening. And and so it, even though it's of a spiritual nature, there's a dichotomy in there that, that as you live, you die. And the epitome of it is that you're right at the fire of it. So, I mean,
okay.
I'd have to, you know, you have to incorporate that idea, and it just takes a little bit of practice.
And we do have to move on to the next caller, but Catherine, first, before we do that, can you validate any of the artistic vibes Neil was getting from you? Because the cancer...
yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, so, all right, I just wanted to make sure because I was...
Mm-hmm.
No, it really resonated well with me. Everything seems to fit pretty perfectly. So I'm going to definitely research more and try and figure out the chakras and how I can get myself aligned like I need to be and focus on the heart chakra, correct?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Right.
I would start with that one. It's a little bit of a balancing act, but you'd have to start with that one to really understand the dynamics of it. And then from there, then go 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. But you need to start
okay.
with the heart first, because I think that comes from a sense of loss in these last 5 years.
All right, Catherine.
Perfect.
Well, we
appreciate, thank
you. We appreciate your call. And if you would like to discuss further, 562-596-7818. She can also join us on Facebook. We're on Facebook, on Twitter. There's two Facebook accounts, which I didn't mention earlier.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, you know that. But one of them's linked here under Blog Talk Radio, and then one of them is a friend page. So one's
people,
a fan page, one's a friend page.
Are people hitting our like page or our Facebook page?
I don't know. You know, sometimes they do, sometimes they don't.
Are there
or friend requests.
Yeah,
there are numbers, but, you know, we invite more likes that help support us in what we do. I mean, it helps support the show and giving the readings that are, of course, a service to our callers and listeners. So
yeah,
your support is nice. And your friendship on our the page that I update the most is our account whereby people would send us a friend request. Find us there. I probably should link that page here on Blog Talk Radio. All right, 936. Are you listening or do you want a reading, 936?
Oh, I was just listening.
You're just listening?
Yeah,
Lindsay.
Yes.
Hi, Lindsay. Hi.
Hi.
Okay,
hi.
Well,
hi.
Good. How are you? Well, I'll put you on mute, but glad to hear that you're listening. Lindsay.
Yes, I am.
Oh, of course.
Okay.
Hi, Lindsay.
All right.
Hi,
okay, so we have one more caller, 951. Would you be mad if I bought 8 ounces of coffee beans for $60?
Would I be mad?
Yeah.
I think you'd be mad to do it.
There's a very highly rated coffee I found online.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, 97 points by Coffee Review and $59.95 for 8 ounces. I mean, I would never spend that coffee, but I just want to buy you.
Buzz.
I guess. All right, 951. It's Nathaniel.
Hey, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you, Nathaniel?
Great, great.
All right, here we are. What's going on? 5157, he's a 28101.
Well, I went to the doctor yesterday, and I guess I made it there, and it seemed to all work out all right.
Okay, and so what happened? Because that was that the appointment that you wanted rescheduled, and it was rescheduled?
Yeah.
Or not?
Yeah, it was on Sunday. They ran out of chiropractic office for Sunday, so they could just, you know, get an extra day in to do it.
Oh, so they did it for you on a Sunday, which, okay, good. And what were the results?
You know, I'm not sure. He's supposed to write out a report, so, you know, I really won't know for about 10 days, I think.
Okay. Well, is there a specific question you had today, Nathaniel?
You know, how's it going to kind of go in the next couple months or the rest of the year or so for me? Do you see anything, or is that too broad of a question?
No, it's a fine question.
The thing that I'm getting, I don't know where yet it's coming from, but there's going to be, and it could just be a friend, but there's a new female that enters your life, Nathaniel, that I'm picking up on in the next 2 weeks. So what I mean, it doesn't have to be romantic, but it's a new female. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's somebody you start to formulate a friendship with or you converse with. But there seems to be a female energy that you connect to. She's totally new. You don't know her yet. And you start to talk with her and you have like-minded interests. And so I don't know if you are in any position to activate such a connection, whether you do it what online or if you do it in some local area where you live, but there seems to be a female coming into your world that's going to be totally new. Do you meet females? I mean, where would you be prone to meet them, online or in some?
I'm not sure. It's just anywhere I frequent. You know, it could be a store, or it could be somewhere, or it could be a bus or anything. You know, I met a girl named Linda, and she's actually a seventh degree black belt, and she was a 5-time world champ. And I met her a couple months ago, and I just walked down to the park over here, Jasper Park, and she's been teaching the martial arts, the Japanese martial art over there. And I went in and I watched her a while, and, you know, I told her I did yoga and martial arts and that kind of stuff. And, you know, it was really interesting. You know, I had told her about I had done astrology because I know each, you know, day of the year has a thing for me. Like Einstein was born the day of relativity, and it goes on. Jimi Hendrix was born the day of electrifying excitement. So it goes on and on and on. And so I told her she was born the same day as Helen Keller, the day of the defensive developer. So I thought, wow, that was pretty ironic, you know, because she's a 7-3 martial artist, and she's born the day of the defense of the developer. You kind of get it? So,
yeah.
With that
conversation in mind, and that was a couple of months ago, and you did meet a girl, Linda, I'm probably picking up on that vibe, if you will, and so it's not over yet, and you're going to be meeting somebody else, so it could be haphazardly, like, you know.
She wanted to introduce me to her friend. She said, boy, you know, can I give my friend, you know, who's really into astrology, can I give her your number? And I go, yeah, sure. And I text her, you know, her day and stuff, but so that might be the new person there. That might be her friend. And I know that she teaches on Mondays and Wednesdays over here. So, you know, today's Monday, so I might run over there and just say hello. I haven't seen her for a couple weeks.
Okay, so that's what I'm picking up on. I think that must be it, Nathaniel. So why don't you go back there and say, hey, I'm willing to do a reading for your friend.
I could text her, too, because I have her number, and too. So.
Oh, well, she gave you the number, and she was that open and bold about it.
She gave me her number. She gave me her number, you know. So
Linda gave you Linda. Okay.
And then she had her card on it too. It was her card.
Okay. So reconnect with her. It could be maybe you could do a reading with Linda, and maybe from there, if she's impressed, you can do a reading with, you know, she'll refer you. And that might, you know, I don't know if you charge or not for your readings, but if you do, that might be a way of making some money too. But if you're good at what you do, but I think that's what it is. So that's what I'm giving you today. That's where it's coming from.
Okay, Nathaniel. Well,
hey, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Well, we're out of callers. We had a few people drop today, Neil. So we can wrap up early if you'd like.
Okay.
All right. Anything else you want to say before I close?
No. What time? What we got?
We have 5 minutes left.
Oh,
but,
we're done. We're close.
Feeling done.
And we have people drop. Okay.
Well, that always happens.
Perfect. Okay. So, yeah, we're about through for the day.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We're back on the air on Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Bye.